more glorious is taking those people that you love with you. Amen. And gospel track is a perfect way to do that. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Leviticus. Where's Leviticus? It's in the Old Testament, right? Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Am I on back there? Am I portable? Okay, I'm on. All right. Leviticus chapter 9. Several weeks ago, while reading through the book of Numbers, I came across two men that were priests. Two men that God killed in the tabernacle for their conduct. And I studied that, studied the other passages around it, and really hadn't written a sermon about it, and just couldn't get away from what happened. And so then the Lord did give me a message for it, and so here it is today. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 22. And the Bible says, "And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings." There's actually five offerings in the Old Testament, and they point to Christ. I'm not going to talk about that too much, but in verse 23, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Amen? "And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Now to go to chapter 10, verse 1. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron," they were also priests, "took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." Let's pray. Father, I ask this morning that you would speak, Lord, that you would work, that you would do what only you can do. The Holy Spirit would convict and correct and comfort, strengthen, and he would save. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a messenger. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach today on this subject, careless conduct. Careless conduct. I encourage you, when you come to church, sit in the back for a reason. Because when the choir starts or the music begins, you see people not in tune with the Lord. You see people that are carrying on business, and they're not focused on what God has to say. It's like we just go through everyday business of detail of life, and when we come in the house, it's like we're not prepared to hear what God is about to say to us. Or maybe we're just here. As we look at this passage this morning, I want you to understand that although this is the Old Testament, and these rules and standards we read about applied to the priest, if you read through Leviticus, it's normally not an exciting book to read through. Amen? I mean, but God had a reason why he gave the people these offerings, because it was to cover their sin. It was to give him glory. God, it talks about Christ, who is our peace. And it pointed to Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus is our peace. Amen? And so we look at these rules and these standards, and we see what they went through. Can you imagine if we had the slain animal and still sprinkle the blood on the altar? Do you know it's a bloody thing for the priest to be involved in? You read through Leviticus, you'll see that. You know, they didn't have a deer stand. They didn't have a deer meat and processing where they probably hung it up. And they got bloody. They got dirty in doing that. But it was what God required of the priest. And so a lot of times we don't maybe look at the Old Testament. We don't really pay much attention to the rules and the standards that applied to the priest and serving the Lord. But it doesn't not mean that there's not something for us when we read the Old Testament. Amen? Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope." You know, the Old Testament, these books in the Old Testament, these 39 books in the Old Testament, are stories of lives that God used to teach us, don't do this, or don't walk in that way, or do this. It could have very well been us in that time living that God was putting our family, our home, our failures on display for us to learn from one another. And so 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so we look at the message today in Leviticus chapter 9. We see here that it was just an exciting time. Now I want you to understand something. Aaron's sons, he had the four sons, but the two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they had right. They were to serve in the temple, the tabernacle, not the temple. They were to serve in the tabernacle. They had right when at the appropriate time to offer up and to prepare the altar for the offerings and so forth. That was their priestly duty. That's what they were to do. And so they had experienced God moving and God showing up. And so they understood what all the blessings were. And so in chapter 9, 23 to 24, we see there was a special time. The people were gathered in the courts of the tabernacle, and as the priest would come in and they would bless the people, the holy presence of God would come down like a fire and come, and the people shouted. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time that God's presence was there. You know what I'm afraid of today? We've gotten so used to routine that we wouldn't know God's presence if it really showed up today. Amen? Because when God's presence shows up, we become different people. Amen? There was a revival that took place in North Carolina several years ago. Brother C.T. Townsend, God used that evangelist. The revival started in church. They got so many people they had to move to a tent in Burlington, North Carolina. And the Spirit of God began to come down on the preaching and on the people. And people driving by would stop and they'd come. And it went on for weeks and weeks, and thousands of people got saved. Why? Because God's presence was here. God's presence was there. God was doing a work among the people. And sometimes I think we can get in so much of a routine of a bulletin, so routine of just life, and we can't change anything or do anything different. We're in this routine, and I think maybe we just miss God sometimes because we're trying to keep Him in a box. Amen? And so here, the people experience the holy presence of God. Now, while it may not matter to many people how the church, the bride of Christ, is to be, to live, to act, to serve, to worship, God does take notice. We see in this passage in chapter 10, God took notice of the actions of Nadab and Abihu. And in fact, He dealt with the situation. And so what was a glorious time, what was a special time, soon became a time of sorrow, a time of sadness, a time of sin. See what sin does to us? It robs us of our joy. It robs us of being effective believers for Jesus. Sin, it's not your buddy, amen? Notice it was a time of God's glory and blessing overshadowing the people. Notice the people's response. They shouted and fell on their faces. We see a similar response in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah, being a man that lived upon a worldly, lost, unclean people, he himself mentioned that he was unclean. But he fell before the Lord and he worshiped the Lord and he heard the words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He humbled himself. He saw the presence. And he said, "Woe is me." See, there's a difference in just coming to church and hearing a little sermonette. Amen? And going home and not ever letting this book change you. This book is a living book. Amen? Listen, we got library shelves full of books that are not living books. But this is a living book that can change you. Change your marriage. Change your home. Change your workplace. If you allow Jesus to do His work in you. It's a living book. Oh, Isaiah, he said, "Woe is me." He is contrite in the spirit. He is overwhelmed with how unworthy he is in the sight of the Lord's presence. He is humbled before the Lord. And I want you to notice the contrast, though. You have the group that fell on their faces. It's a glory time. God was moving. God was working. It's a wonder time of God getting the praise. And Isaiah there, and he sees and he falls on his face. "Woe is me," and he's unclean. And then the angel takes a coal from the altar of God and touches his mouth with it and cleanses him and makes him pure. But then on the other hand, the contrast, you have two priests that are supposed to be godly. Supposed to be in the right place, doing the right thing. And yet, we see that these two men became careless in their worship, in their conduct, and acted upon their own desires to carry out that which God had not commanded. Notice with me the position of these priests, chapter 8. Let's go back to chapter 8. We're going to move around a little bit. Chapter 8, verse 30. Notice the position of these priests. Here, Moses is consecrating them. He is anointing them for service. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments with him. Notice their position as priests. They were from the tribe of Levi. They were the sons of Aaron. They were appointed priests. They were anointed to serve the Lord with oil and with blood. And so oil representing the Holy Spirit, blood representing the blood of Christ. It typified as a type that Jesus would shed His blood for our sins. Amen? They were to be set apart for service. You know what happens today? We, as believers, ought to be set apart for service today. Amen? That's why the office of a deacon that so many Baptist churches have made the office of deacon cheap. Cheap! They made the office of pastor cheap. God has rules. God has, He has an order. Amen? He has a standard. And they were to be anointed, they were to be separated under God for service. Notice they were to set apart to serve the Lord in the tabernacle. But notice number two, the place and time of service. Notice verse chapter 8, verse 33. Notice the the time in the service, and ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you, as he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye, notice that verse, that ye die not. For so I am commanded. And so Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. There was a place and a time in the tabernacle. So Aaron and his sons, they were to serve those 7 days in that time. They were to be there in the tabernacle. They were not to leave. It was so important that they be there to serve the Lord. If a family member died, they could not leave. They could not even show sorrow in that time period of those 7 days. They had to serve the Lord with gladness. Listen, church, we worship a risen, resurrected Savior, and there ought to be some gladness in the church. Amen? Come on, church. Tell your neighbor, we ought to be glad. Come on now, we ought to be glad. Hey, we could be going to hell today. Thank God we're going to heaven, to that place Brother Marcus sang about, where there'll be no more tears. Amen? There's a place and a time of service. The holy place is a place of mercy. It was a place of grace. A place of God's presence. A place of blessing. Did you know God wants to bless you? Now, I'm not talking about prosperity preaching that goes on so much in this world. I'm talking about the believer. The Bible says every good and perfect gift coming from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. God wants to bless you, dear Christian. But He can't bless you if you're not in the place to be blessed. Amen? And I'm talking about spiritually. If we can't be blessed if we're not in the place to be blessed spiritually. God wants to bless you with mercy and grace, His presence. Hey, where two or more are gathered, there He is in the midst. Amen? Did you know He's sitting right next to you? Jesus is here, His presence. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When's the last time you got glad to come to church? This morning. Amen. Thank you. Hey, we ought to always be glad to come to church. You know there's Christians in China meeting in caves, and people in Pakistan meeting in old rundown caves, and they're worshiping Jesus. They're risking their lives. Listen, the American church has no idea what persecution is. Someone says something wrong to us or don't take the gospel, we think that's persecution. We don't have any idea what persecution is. But listen, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. North Georgia, when we go into church, we'd be headed in Sunday school. The ensemble would be practicing, Brother Marcus. But I'm telling you what, I'd be walking through the sanctuary on the way to my Sunday school class. And man, I tell you, I wanted to jump that high off the ground. Man, the music that was going on, I'm telling you what, it was such a spiritual music. Hey, listen, we were getting revived before church even began. Amen? We were getting excited about church before we even got there. When we were in our classes, we could hear them singing. We could hear what God was doing. I'm telling you what, our hearts were ready. Our hearts were ready to meet with God that morning. Hey, church ought to be a glad place. Amen? We come to the house of the Lord. Let us come prepared, not fighting with our family on the way to church. How many of you seen that? I've been a part of that, amen? God help me. A friend of mine, he said he was on staff at a church, and he was going to church, and his wife played the piano, he led the music, and Brother Marcus, he said the kids were in the back seat, and he said, we're on the way to church, and he says, my wife and I begin to have this little tiff on the way to church, and arguing and fussing, and we pull off the road, and she jumps out of the car, I'm not going to church, and he said, people are coming up behind us. He said, the horrible thing of all that is right on the back of our car, there's a bumper sticker that said, follow me to Morningside Baptist Church. Who wants to go to Morningside when they see your music director and his wife fighting on the way to church? It shouldn't be that way, amen? You know when it won't be that way? It's when we get up early and we meet with Jesus. We don't let the devil have victory. We don't let the devil come in and destroy our home. Amen? Don't give him place. Hey, we'd have come prepared to respond to the message of God. We'd have come with a desire to hear from the Lord. Meeting in His presence on God's day ought to be a time of praise, of blessing, of teaching, of receiving, of giving, of worshiping, of testifying to the goodness of the Lord. It is a place of service unto the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. You get to serve the Lord, church. Amen? It's amazing that God gets what He gets done with who He's got to work with. Yet, because we get to serve the Lord, why is it so little serve the Lord? Why is it it's so hard to find people to serve the Lord? How many people will tell you where they work, they're Christians, but don't go to church? Not involved. Not involved in missions. Not involved in telling, hey, what's wrong with telling someone about Jesus? I'll tell them that Alabama won last night. You Georgia fans, you won't want to hear that. But I also tell you that Jesus loves you. Amen? You know why I'm a Roll Tide fan? Because it speaks of the blood of Jesus. No, it doesn't, but I think about it. But nonetheless, it's got that crimson blood. But nonetheless, hey, nothing. Notice, the priests were to be there for 7 days. Nothing was to hinder their service, not even death of a loved one. Wow. And though we are not under the constraints and the rules of the priest, but how much today do we allow everything from family to pleasure to selfish desires hinder our service to the Lord? Amen? We allow everything. And though we're under grace, and though we get to serve, knowing this, we should be the first ones up. I want to help. I want to give. I want to share. I want to be a part of what God wants. Amen? Though we are in Christ, we still serve the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and Aaron. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, and these people that bother me say, well, you know, we're not under law no more. Amen, we're not. The law points us to Jesus. The law points out our sin, and we look at the law, there's nothing we can do, so we go to Jesus who can and has done everything for our sin to wipe it away. Amen? But a lot of people say, well, you know, that's law. You can learn a lot from the Old Testament. Amen? And listen, where the blood of bulls could not take away sin and only covered it, we have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives, removing forever our sins from us, giving us mercy and grace and life. And knowing this, how much greater should our love and devotion and commitment be to our Lord? Listen, our service, we're not serving in the temple. Brother Ken's not here 7 days a week. He's probably here a lot. Amen? When I pastored, I was in church a lot. But you know what? Every believer is a priest. We're part of the royal priesthood. Amen? And so we don't come here to serve 7 days a week. But you serve where you go. You serve when you're out at your workplace or at school. We're out with family. You take Jesus where you go. You make a difference where you go. See, worship is more, church is more than just about music. It's about hearing and receiving God's word. It's giving, it's testifying. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, I know it's 12 o'clock. Amen? Glad you know that now, okay? If you got to go, go on, but I'm going to meet with the Lord a little bit longer. Number 3, and this is where we'll camp out a minute. We see in chapter 10. I wanted to give you the good part. What was going on. The great things going on with God. Now we see chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. We see here the profaning of the priest, chapter 10. What had just been a glorious moment before the Lord, where the fire came down, where the people shouted and fell on their faces. Here, Nadab and Abihu, they entered into the Lord's presence with careless conduct and did something God had not commanded. They entered into a place of judgment. Old church, how careful we should be with our lives. We see the careless conduct of these priests. Number one, they offered fire, chapter 10, verse 1. They offered fire not commanded by the Lord. It is called a strange fire. Now, why would they offer strange fire? Now, why would they do this? Something had to be amiss in their life. I mean, they're priests. Their dad is Aaron, Moses' brother. I mean, they've seen God move in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Why would they all of a sudden decide to do something that God had not commanded? Did they just wake up one morning and say, you know what? It doesn't matter how I act. I'm going to share with you in a minute. Notice, the one indicated God's acceptance. God had moved in chapter 9. God accepted. God fire came him down. And here, they offered strange fire. It was rejected. And God killed them on the spot. Now why? Why? Something happened to them, right? Something certainly had to happen to him. Why was God so displeased? Remember, they were careless, number one, in their conduct. They entered into a place of self-will worship. Who else did that, we know? Saul. Remember Saul? He was to wait for Samuel. He got impatient. He went to the witch of Endor and began to offer sacrifice. God took the kingship away from Saul at that moment and gave it to David. Why? Self-will worship. Number two, they had not sanctified God in their hearts. Number three, and here I think is the problem, they came into God's presence with careless conduct. They came intoxicated before the Lord with strong drink, which was prohibited. What happens when people get drunk? They act crazy, don't they? Man, I tell you what, I've stood on the side of the road with patrolmen, and we've stopped people that have been drunk, and women will act crazy. Everything you've ever seen. Men will just do and say things you just never dream. And then they get up and they say, oh, well, I would never acted this way. And then they play the video and they say, oh, was that me? Yeah, that was you. Nadab and Abihu got drunk. They took what was prohibited. And because they were intoxicated with this strong drink, they thought they could go into God's presence, take fire not from the altar, but they would take fire from some common routine source and try to offer that up whenever. They didn't need to do that. That displeased God greatly, and He killed them on the spot. Let me tell you, church, it matters. It matters how we live, amen? They came intoxicated before the Lord. They took fire not from the fire of the altar. They used strange fire, common fire, a careless action. And God consumed them. Notice the key here. What's the key reason? They did that which God commanded them not. They approached God like they didn't care. They offered fire like it was no big deal. I've done this before. Listen, we can go through church with such a routine, like I said, and never even hear from God. How many churches go through routine after routine and never hear from God? Listen, when the time becomes more important to you, or Walmart, or what you got cooking on the stove at home, becomes more important, you're not interested in hearing from the Lord. You came to church because everyone else was coming to church. Listen, we who approach God must regard Him as holy. And that's what Isaiah said. He heard the angels, the seraphims going from one place to place, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, though we are in this is a building, we are the church, but let me tell you, we worship a holy God. Amen? Holy means set apart. Evidently, the actions of Nadab and Abihu did not respect God. God must be glorified. Listen, He will not tolerate us taking His glory. God was to be honored, and He was not. These two priests in the court of the tabernacle made a sport of themselves, carelessly before the people, doing that which God had not commanded them, and that they were under strong drink, more than likely because when they dishonored the Lord, listen, what happened, and God told Moses and told Aaron, told Moses what to do, but told Aaron, you're not to leave, not to remove your hat or your covering, you're not to look sad, you're here to serve the Lord. God meant business. And Moses got Aaron's uncle, and they came in, and they had to go in and carry the bodies out and bury them or get ready for burial. But in those 7 days, Aaron and his other sons, they had to continually serve God. What does that tell me? That serving God is more important than anything else. You remember that story in the New Testament where the Lord called them to a feast, and one said, I've got to go out and buy this, and I've got to go out and do this, and I've got to... You know what? We do the same thing today. I ain't got time for the Lord. We need to make sure we don't enter into the place of where everything else becomes first and God becomes last. What it boils down to is a matter of the heart and will. Amen? Notice that Aaron's sons died. Aaron was to be real careful to continue his duties. Then finally, I want to close. I want to show you something, though, in chapter 10. Notice in verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, chapter 10, verse 8, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now I wanted to share with something, I forgot it till just now. One of the reasons Aaron could not leave, number one, he was to be there 7 days, but had he left, not only God's judgment would have come upon Nadab and Abihu, but it also said that God's judgment would come upon Aaron and all the people. That's how serious God is. Amen? That's how serious He took it. And though some principles as we close, though we're not priests as they were in the Old Testament, does not mean that we can just live how we please. In fact, we are been bought with a price. We're to glorify God. And I believe Colossians 3 sums it all up. We're to mortify the deeds of this flesh That means to kill, to get rid of, to put to death the deeds of this flesh and put on the new man, Jesus Christ, and serve Him. Let us not be careless, church, in our worship, in our service, in our attitude, in our behavior. Let us follow the Lord and be ready to follow Him as He leads. Three questions and I close. How is your conduct today when you came in the door before the Lord? Number two, how is your service unto the Lord? Are you lacking? Are you lacking? And number three, how is your worship before the Lord? You know, the choir, they meet on Sunday nights and they practice. And they do the best they can. Brother Marcus, he picks out songs and he tries to get the church to the place where we're worshiping the Lord. But you know what, church? We need to understand the choir is not here to entertain us. Amen? They're here to help us worship Jesus. How's your worship before the Lord? And as we enter into a time of commitment, let us do business with the Lord. And listen, I want you, He loves you. He desires to bless you. He wants to work, do a great work in your life. But you've got to let Him. You've got to let Him. Let's not be like Nadab and Abihu. Amen? Father, I pray today as we have a time of commitment. Lord, I pray that, and Lord, I examined my own heart early this morning. And Lord, I want to be right with You. And Lord, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. The Bible says the righteous falleth seven times, but he gets back up. And oh, thank You, Jesus, that You help us back up. And oh, Lord, You give us mercy and grace, and You forgive us. And Lord, You want to bless us. And I pray today, God, we'll do business with You. As the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my ways. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me to the way of everlasting. O God, have Your will in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.